Fallout continues from two deadly crashes involving Boeing's 737 MAX 8 jet. Indonesia's national airline announced today it was canceling an order of the aircraft estimated to be worth nearly $5 billion. And both the company and the Federal Aviation Administration are under scrutiny now for how the certification of the plane was handled. Here's President Trump explaining the decision to ground that line of planes last week.
The United States has the greatest record in the world of aviation, and we want to keep it that way. So I didn't want to take any chances. We didn't have to make this decision today. We could have delayed it. We maybe didn't have to make it at all. But I felt it was important, both psychologically and in a lot of other ways.
Lori Aratani covers transportation and the airline industry at The Washington Post. Lori, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Some of the latest developments are in Congress. What are members of Congress in both chambers starting to look at now?
So next Wednesday, we're going to have our first congressional hearing on this. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas is going to have a hearing on Wednesday where he'll have the chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board, which does safety investigations here in the U.S. and is part of the investigation of the Ethiopian Airlines crash. He'll have the Department of Transportation's Inspector General, who U.S. Secretary of Transportation Elaine Chao has asked to begin an audit of the certification process that went into FAA giving the okay for the 737 MAX 8s to begin flying. And he'll also have the acting administrator of the Federal Aviation Administration, Daniel Elwell, there to answer questions. It's not clear how many answers we'll get. It will probably be a lot about the process of what they're going to be doing. The NTSB can't talk a lot about the investigation. We don't know a whole lot yet, but it'll be the first of what will likely be several of them. And Senator Cruz has also said he plans on having hearings later down the line that will have officials from Boeing and other companies there to answer questions.
One thing that seems to be raising concerns is the similarities between the crashes in Indonesia and Ethiopia. What are people pointing at?
So people are pointing at there is an automated system that Boeing has put on this new version of the 737. This is your workhorse plane. It's your single-aisle aircraft that lots of people have flown on. It's been flying since 1967, but there have been a lot of changes made to this. This newest version has larger engines, and they're mounted more toward the front, so there's a tendency for the nose of the plane to tip up. Boeing had installed to help compensate that for that. There's a worry that if the nose tips up too much, the plane can stall, I mean, basically fall out of the air. So to compensate for that, they put an automated system on there. Many folks who have been following the story might have heard about it. They call it MCAS. And the fear is that this automated system was somehow triggered, but there were concerns that pilots weren't necessarily told about this. They may not have trained on it, so it's not clear whether It's not clear what happened, but they're focusing on this automated safety system. In the investigation, which is still in its early stages, even with the Indonesian flight, which crashed last October, we still don't know exactly what happened. But they did note that both planes crashed shortly after they took off. They had similar patterns when they were through the air that people have sort of described as sort of seesawing, where they're going up and down, and they had difficulty gaining altitude. This was enough information that once the satellite tracking information came out, it prompted China was the first to ground the aircraft, and that was followed shortly after by the European Union, Canada, and then the United States.
Had there been other concerns raised about this system, this compensating system that you were just talking about, or raised by pilots or others outside of these two crashes?
Well, I think after the Lion Air crash, people began talking about this system, and pilots, particularly here in the U.S., began stepping forward and say, hey, no one ever told us about this system. We weren't trained on this system. And some folks talked about, some pilots were concerned because the training they had basically to fly this new version of the jet, I believe, consisted of, someone said, a 59-minute session on an iPad. And so once, in the wake of the Lion Air crash, there were efforts to update the manuals and to do more training I know both Southwest and American Airlines are getting simulators to help with training on this. They'll get them before the end of the year. But there had been, I believe, there's a secret or a sort of a confidential system, that reporting system run by NASA, where there had been some pilots that had raised concerns about the system. So, yes, that would have been before the Lion Air crash.
But to be clear, as you were saying earlier, these investigations of both the crashes are in early stages. Yeah. Nobody involved in them is concluding that this system was the cause of either of those crashes.
Right. And as accident investigators have told us, there's generally never one cause. There's never one thing. There's sort of a series of – there can be a series of things. So, you know, they'll be looking at everything from the mechanics of the airplane. They'll be looking at the software system. They'll be looking at the training that the pilots had. They'll be looking at maintenance, you know, and they'll be looking at the human factor.
We are talking to Lori Aratani. She covers transportation and the airline industry for The Washington Post, looking at the Boeing line of planes that's currently grounded after two crashes in 5 months in Indonesia and Ethiopia. Lori, some people are pointing at the Federal Aviation Administration and its oversight when a new line of planes is involved. There are accusations that maybe a manufacturer like Boeing is doing too much of the testing on their own. What do we know about that?
Yeah, this sort of certification system has gradually evolved over the years, and more of the people that help with the certification come from Boeing. This had been a push by Congress. After 9/11, the FAA had a lot more responsibilities. And so I guess one of the solutions was to try and have the manufacturer be more involved, because they had a lot of the expertise, and that the FAA would sort of serve as a backup check. I think as the years have gone on, the manufacturer has there are concerns right now, and this is what these congressional probes will look in, that perhaps the manufacturer has too much of a say, and maybe FAA doesn't have the staff and personnel to oversee this process the way that they should be doing. So we may see some changes there as Congress and legislators begin to see exactly what went wrong.
What is the process of certifying a new version of an airplane like this? How long does this something like that take?
I believe this was a 5-year process for the 737, and it depends. As you mentioned, this isn't a new plane. Some listeners may recall that back in 2013, there were some issues with Boeing's 787, which was its wide-body Dreamliner. They had some issues with battery fires and the lithium-ion batteries. That was a brand new aircraft, so that's a different process. Because this is just another version of the 737, even though it's a 5-year process, that's a shortened process because it's not an entirely new airplane. It's just a revision of that. And so there will be questions. I think there are some questions now that perhaps, you know, there wouldn't be as much training required because it's not a new plane. It's just another version of a plane that pilots have been flying since 1967. So I think that's what they're going to be looking at. It's a little shorter if you're just revising an aircraft, and that's sort of the bonus of updating versus reinventing. And it wouldn't have the same scrutiny that, say, the Dreamliner, which was just going into service, did.
Lori Aratani is with us from The Washington Post, talking about the latest on Boeing after the second deadly crash involving the same model of one of its airplanes. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about this process of certifying a new type of plane or a new permutation of an existing plane? What do you think about the U.S. waiting to ground the Boeing 737 MAX a few days after other countries? Are you concerned about the FAA's independence from the airline industry and the oversight it provides? What do you want to see Congress asking about? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Lori Aratani of The Washington Post, looking at the Boeing aircraft involved in two fatal crashes in less than 5 months. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction after this second crash involving Boeing's 737 MAX airplane? Does it make you worried about airplane safety? What do you think about how the FAA handled the decision to ground that line of planes? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Lori, let's get into that decision to ground these planes around the world and here in the U.S. As you mentioned, we were among the last. Big picture, usually we're the country, as I understand it, that other countries look to make these kind of decisions.
We definitely are. And there is some concern worldwide, I think, that perhaps the FAA may have lost some of its stature, its standing among in the civil aviation community. China, as you might recall, was the first country to come out and ground the planes. And I think initially some folks may have dismissed that as a little bit of politics. You know, China also has an aviation industry. They have a version, their version of the 737 that they're trying to sell around the world, and this would certainly, trouble at Boeing would certainly help them. But then China was quickly followed by Great Britain, by the EU, and then that was on Tuesday, and then by Wednesday, Canada had stepped in and said they were grounding it. Canada was very good because they actually were one of the few countries that gave actual very clear reasons why, and they talked about the similarity in the flight patterns of these planes before they went down. And shortly, I think just a few hours after Canada announced, the U.S. announced that they were grounding the planes.
Was anybody making the case that these other countries were overreacting, that the FAA was maybe right to hold off on that decision?
I think it depends. It depends where you come from. Analysts have told us that for other countries, even though the 737 is probably the most widely flown plane around the world, this version, there aren't that many out there. There are about 371, I think, that were flying. So for other countries, people said perhaps, you know, it's not as much of an economic question for them. These were perhaps small parts of other airlines' fleets, so it isn't as disruptive. You know, other folks say you got to trust the FAA. You know, they don't just make these decisions lightly. You know, they are a safety agency. They are responsible for aviation safety. And they point out that, you know, it's a very, very safe system. The U.S. has a very safe system. But I think once other countries began tipping in, I guess the pressure was on the U.S. to do something. A lot of countries had said that now once these planes are ready to come online, they are going to be doing their own certification process. I understand that's a break from protocol because generally they would take the FAA at their word. There was also an issue when these planes were initially certified to begin flying. There were the European Union, some of had expressed some concerns about some of the issues about training and the plane in general, but they were ultimately persuaded to follow the FAA. Brazil was interesting, though, in that they actually wanted additional training for their pilots. They didn't just take the FAA's word. They had some issues, and so they asked for additional training for their pilots and material from Boeing before they would let the plane start flying.
Want to bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Dennis is with us in Two Rivers. Dennis, hi.
Hi. When certain airline model is so popular, it just put pressure on airlines and regulators say, hey, we've got to keep these going, otherwise they're going to be grounding pretty much the whole fleet. Whereas if they said, well, okay, well, you can have this many of a certain model, then at least there'd be some airliners flying.
Dennis, thanks for the call. So is there, a concern that a particular kind of plane might be too big to fail if it's such a big part of a fleet? Regulators might be reluctant to do something like ground it, Lori?
I think regulators are always going to be concerned about safety. There are certainly economic pressures. You know, airlines have to cancel flights. You know, they don't have these planes in their fleets. It's causing trouble there. But ultimately, for regulators, it is about safety.
Thanks for the call, Dennis. We'll go now to Terry with us in Milton. Terry, hello.
Hi. I had gone on the checked on the airworthiness directives that were put out by the FAA. And they said that this aircraft also had problems with the vertical stabilizers, and that they had a condition that could cause the flight crew to have difficulty controlling the airplane and lead to excessive nose-down attitude, significant altitude loss, and a possible impact with the terrain. That was taken right off the airworthiness directives that came from the FAA.
Terry, thanks for the call. You had mentioned that tipping forward problem. That's what the software was supposed to be solving, Lori. Have you heard concerns like Terry is raising there?
That sounds like the airworthiness directive that the FAA put out, or that Boeing put out shortly after, or FAA, I'm sorry, I'm mixing up my names here. It's been a long week. That was shortly after the Lion Air crash. And yes, there is a concern. That is a concern. And that was a warning to pilots so that they know they are trained how to handle a situation like that. MCAS was designed to make it easier for them because it would do it. It would kick in automatically. But pilots are trained to do this. So the airworthiness directive, I believe, was just a reminder to pilots that this is a risk so that they needed to know, to be sure that they knew what to do in the case that something like this happened.
Thanks for that call, Terry. We're talking to Lori Aratani from The Washington Post. She covers transportation in the airline industry, looking at Boeing planes, the one involved in two crashes now in the last 5 months, the decision to ground it by the FAA. We'll go back to your calls now. Randy is with us in Ripon. Randy, hi.
Hi. I can't help but wonder if this is indicative of all the underfunding of government agencies and not having enough staff and everybody to test and regulate. I mean, for the airline to self-regulate, it seems such a huge contradiction. Interesting. And I worry. I mean, we're taking a trip here in April. I'm scared out of my mind to fly. I hope I'm not in one of those planes.
Randy, thanks for the call. Is there a concern that regulation is underfunded, Lori?
I think there's definitely a concern about whether FAA has enough people on their staff to do what they need to do, given all the responsibility that agency has. There's also a concern about experience, right? You want folks that are experienced and are up to date in all these different systems. And a lot of times there's that tug and pull, you know, for folks that are starting in these careers, you can go to private industry and often make a lot more money than you can in government. So I think there's also the question of, you know, are the folks that the FAA is able to attract, are they able to retain them? Do they have the right experience? Do they know these systems? Are they up to date?
Thanks a lot for the call. But that said, Lori, flying is fairly safe these days compared to, I think, what I remember when I was growing up. And it seemed like crashes happen way more often than they do now.
Flying is incredibly safe, and it's the, you know, you're much, they people often remind me as a transportation writer and someone who covers things that move, that you're in more risk when you get in your car every day than you are in getting on an airplane. It's just that when airplanes so rarely go down these days, as you mentioned, and when they do, it's a lot of people's lives are at risk. They're large numbers here, so I think that's why they get attention. But yes, I think the U.S. had not had an aviation fatality. I think last year we had the Southwest jet, but that was the first one in many, many, many years.
Let's go to the top now. The FAA, we have a new nominee to head the FAA. How long have we been with an interim appointment there?
We have been with an interim appointment for about a little over a year. Dennis Huerta, who was the last FAA administrator, left in January at the end of his five-year term. There was a lot of talk. President Trump had talked about how he wanted his personal pilot to run the FAA, and I think there was some pushback on that. But now we have someone who is a former Delta Airlines executive who himself was a pilot, and so he will go through the confirmation process and we'll see if we can get some permanent leadership there.
Is this something that's usually a pretty smooth sailing process? Do we usually confirm our FAA appointees?
Generally, I can't recall a time when this has been a particularly controversial appointment. This administration always surprises, but I think he is generally well-regarded. He certainly has the support of the Transportation Secretary. Elaine Chao has spoken very highly of him, as has Dennis Huerta, who was the previous FAA administrator.
And briefly, Lori, as we wrap up, what are you watching for next as this story goes on?
I think the next thing is going to be Boeing is supposed to implement a software patch that's going to help with this automated anti-stall system. So we're waiting for the announcement of what that's going to be. You know, the question for many people is how long is this going to last? I think we're going to be looking out to see what investigators turn up. There is some talk that we could get at least some preliminary investigation, some preliminary findings about the Ethiopian air crash as early as next week.
Lori, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Lori Aratani, transportation reporter for The Washington Post, with us to talk about the latest news surrounding Boeing after two crashes in less than 5 months killed more than 300 people.